Good morning. When I was a young girl, I grew up in a United Methodist church in Lexington. And then I entered my teenage years, so of course I no longer wanted to accompany my grandmother to church on Sunday morning, although sometimes she would get me to go if she would promise me pancakes, and that would be her way of getting me to come to church on Sunday morning. But shortly thereafter, I met a boy, as many teenage girls do, yes, and he went to a youth group across town. And so I said, well, I'm going to go to that church now. There are varying reasons why people come into our space. Now, I don't know how many people come in here to meet a boy. Maybe they do. That was just my experience as a teenager. But the reasons range across the board. Maybe there are feelings of loneliness and isolation, and they think, if I come here, maybe I will feel a sense of longing and community. Maybe someone comes because they were brought to church as a child, and they thought, that's one place where I felt joy. And so I want to come to church to feel joy. Or maybe it was a friend who invited them, and they told them how great this place was, and so they said, I'm going to come try out something new. We don't always know the reasons people come to the feet of Jesus. But one of the things that I would ask us to do is to think about what people should expect when they get here. What should they expect to happen? Should it just be a simple time of fellowship? Should it be an opportunity where they sing? Or should it be an opportunity where they encounter God in a new and transformative way? This week is our last week of our series, BUM Connect, where we are looking at the three goals our church has put into place that we are hoping to live out over this coming year. The first goal that we had is to form a prayer team, right? We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Our second goal was to form two new small groups. And then our final goal was to form an outreach committee so that we can connect others with God. And so that is the focus of our time together this week. One of the ways that we have started to meet and reach that goal is we have formed an outreach committee. If you are on that committee, will you please raise your hand? There are several in this room. Yes. And so we said we want to host one event per quarter. Now, this is not something that we are doing just so we can host fun events in Plattsburgh, although that may be a goal that we have, to host some fun events in Plattsburgh. But our desire truly is to reach out to people so that we can make disciples for Jesus Christ, so that we can connect with people and we can connect them to God, so that we can show others the transformative power of Jesus Christ, and that no matter what they're seeking, no matter what their need is, God is there present and waiting for them. This is the very story that Helen read for us today. And so I want to go back and reread that first part of Luke's gospel that Helen read for us this morning. We are in Luke chapter 5. And if you follow the gospels, Mark was the first gospel that was written. And then Matthew and Luke kind of take parts of Mark, and they use some other sources, and they use their own sourcing to tell their stories. So this chapter in Luke, Luke 5, is very, very, very similar to what you will read if you open up to Mark chapter 2, okay, verses 1 through 12. So if you're looking at the parallel, that is where you would look. So in Luke's gospel, we hear this. One day while Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and there were teachers of the law, and they were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And it says, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Jesus had this healing power from God. It says, just then there came some men carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. So I want you to imagine for a moment this scene. Jesus is there. It is early in the Gospels, but his name has started to get out. And so he is in a village somewhere. I had the opportunity a few years ago, I've told you, to go to Israel. And so we saw a village that would have been similar to a place where Jesus was. And the houses would have been close together. And you probably could have walked across the roof from one house to another to get around. But the crowds were intense, right? People were drawn in. And suddenly you have this man who is paralyzed. He cannot get up. He cannot walk. He cannot move. But we know he has some friends, right? He has formed some relationships with people who have a connection with Jesus. And they take it upon themselves to take this man up on his mat, and they can't find a way through the crowd. They are pushing and shoving and elbowing, I'm sure, jumping up and down, just trying to see over to find out where Jesus might be. But they can't get there. So they sit down and they draw a diagram and they say, okay, what's the quickest route to Jesus if we can't make it through the crowd? Should we dig a tunnel under? Should we fly an airplane in over? No, this is not the most cost-effective way to get to Jesus. So they say, let's walk across the roofs. Now, Mark's gospel gives us a little more detail, and I like the way Mark presents this part of the text. It says this, and when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, when they couldn't bury a tunnel under and they couldn't fly a plane over, it really says that in Mark's gospel. It's really interesting. It says, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, this wasn't just something simple that they could pick up. They had to remove the roof and they had to dig. They had to go after it. They had to try really, really hard to get to Jesus. This is like the coolest prison escape you've ever seen. And they make it in to Jesus and they lower him down on this mat. And they lay him at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, you are forgiven. Stand up and walk. You are healed. This is the scene that Luke and Mark set up for us today. And I can imagine for a moment how this man might have been feeling. Because you see, in that time in society, people like this guy, this paralytic man, would not have been super welcome around everyone. He would have been an outcast. He would have been someone that they probably didn't want to have around. Because here's the thing about Jesus' healing ministry. It challenged the system in Galilee where the urban, secular, and the religious powers exploited the rural poor. This man was a rural, poor man. And the sick among these people often got excessive taxation, and they were exploited in different ways. And so their only resource was the temple. That was their only place that they could go. And often people thought that they were sick and they were crippled because they had sinned. So when they went to the temple, often they would also have to give up whatever meager resources they had, increasing their poverty and their likelihood of further sickness. So the church, the temple, it became a place that continued to exploit them just like society. And so if I was imagining this man and how he felt, that no one loved him, no one cared about him, that society was out to get him, and people thought he was a bad guy because he was paralyzed, that people thought he was disgusting and an outcast, and he felt like the world was against him, what could he possibly do? He couldn't even get to Jesus because he couldn't walk there. He was alone and isolated. But then he has these four friends, these four disciples of Jesus, these four people who believe so strongly in the power of Jesus that they will take any path they can to get their friend to him. And so they go through great obstacles, right? To get him there. Now there becomes this question about this man that I think is important. Especially since the first words that Jesus offers him is, "You are forgiven," right? So we assume that for forgiveness to happen, there must be sort of sin that he has befallen him, right? Something that he has done wrong. But if we read on in Luke's gospel, in Luke 13, Jesus is asked this very question. Did this problem befall on the Galileans because their sin was the greatest? And Jesus is very clear. He says, no. So we can't assume that this man is sick because of something he has done. But perhaps maybe he is sick because of something society has done to him. He continues to get sicker and more frail because his poverty continues to increase. He has to work harder and work his body harder because of what society is doing to him. And yeah, maybe he's made some rotten choices. Yeah, maybe he hasn't done everything he's supposed to do. But society has turned against him. I wonder how many people there are like that in our world. People that we point to and we blame for their problems. The anorexic young girl at school who we say, she shouldn't have that eating disorder. Doesn't she know that that's wrong? Even though society is telling her all the time how she's too fat, how she's not pretty enough, how every TV show she turns on or magazine she opens shows her how flawed she is. Or we look at the addict and we say, ugh, they're doing drugs again. But then we forget that maybe they were abused as a child. Or that they have nowhere to go, or the only place where they feel any sort of joy is at the bottom of a bottle. We like to place blame on those who are frail and who are out there, and they don't feel like they are welcome at Jesus' feet. But we have these four men who are a breath of fresh air in this story. And in my mind, this is exactly what the church is called to be. When I think about outreach here at Broadway United Methodist Church, I think about these four guys who build a relationship and a connection with someone, even though they are an outcast, even though society would tell them no, even though they are broken and bruised and torn apart, or they might smell funny, or whatever ailment it is that they have. And they say, no, we are going to cross whatever path comes in our way. We are going to climb the highest mountain and go through the lowest valley. and go through the most treacherous waters if it means we can get you to Jesus' feet. Because we know that when people meet Jesus, they will be forgiven and they will be healed. Their lives will be transformed into something new. And I know this because it happened to me. I know this because I've experienced the transformative power of Jesus Christ. And by golly, I hope if you come here each and every week and you give your hard-earned dollars, that you too have been transformed by Jesus. That there is something that draws you here that you want to pass on to someone else. And so this is our mission today. To be like the four men. And to not be like the crowd. Because sometimes I think the church is exactly like the crowd. That we put ourselves and our desires first, and we forget about those people who are on the outside. And we make more barriers than pathways to Jesus. That our rules and our doctrine and our discipline sometimes put up walls for people. That the way we practice our faith sometimes puts other people out. And so our question is, how do we dig holes in roofs? How do we disrupt life a little bit to make sure that the people out there know that they are welcome in you? And so this is our final goal for Broadway, right? We have three goals. To connect with God through prayer. To connect with other people who are here through small groups and transformative relationships, and to grow in our own discipleship pathways. But lastly, and most importantly, we are called to connect God to other people. To bring other people to the feet of Jesus. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks today. We thank you for our church family. We thank you that this is a place where we feel welcome and loved, where this is a place where we feel your grace and your transformative power. But God, we also want to share that love with others. God, let us make way for people to come into your awesome presence. Let us break down every barrier in society that would prevent people from coming to know you. God, we long to connect you with everyone that we meet. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.